The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty well. I'm tired. I've been up watching late games. Pacers played last night. I'm a big NBA fan. Like watching my Pacers play, and I was up. They're playing on the West Coast. I hate West Coast trips so much because I have to stay up late.
I like them for baseball, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild because those go to like one. Well, yeah, I guess also, not as much anymore.
Yeah, with the pitch clock. But yeah, I love laying in bed with the baseball game on while
the glow of the TV.
Get ready to drift off. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Just don't bet on them. Just don't bet on any sports if you play. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, don't listen to Troy from High School Musical 2 where he says bet on it. Don't bet on it. Yeah, you know what you can bet on, though? If I'm going to a game, it's going to rain. And the game's going to get canceled.
That's two in a row, man. You're on the street. And you've got a game in between us, don't you? You've got a hockey game.
I might be going Saturday to see Minnesota Philly if I get my credentials. And if so, it's going to rain.
It's going to rain. Pack your umbrellas. And then if it starts raining when you go to the DC, the Capitals game, then we're going to have real issues.
Yeah, because that's inside.
Yeah. Sprinklers come on.
I'm just waiting for this whole buildup of you coming up here to go to Cannon Yards and it's going to rain out or something. But maybe we can go to the Sunday game and then you can delay your flight or something. I don't know. So we are here talking match day 5. I alluded to it in our U.S. Men's National Team episode that dropped yesterday, but, you know, of course, I was driving on the road during this whole time. So there was a lot of times where I, you know, like pull off, over, go to the bathroom, whatever. Stretch our legs, check the scores, and I think the first time I did that, the New York game was already over, and it was, of course, a 4-0 victory. That took me by surprise. The games that we didn't get a chance to talk about last Sunday, Cincinnati beat New England 2-1, and Atlanta beat Orlando 2-0. So now kind of going into these games, Logan was at the Orlando City game with our friend Matt. Let's start there. Just kind of what was your thoughts as you actually got to see them score goals and in this game? How was that game?
Miracles on turf, man. The miracles on turf. Yeah, the first half really was awful until Jack Lynn scored. Then it became more fun. Second half was a totally different story. And Orlando City, finally, Jordan started to play extremely well. I do see things as I'm watching Orlando City that I'm happy about, which is really hard to say when you're sitting that low on the table. You've given up double digits in goals. You've gotten absolutely shellacked by some of these teams in MLS. And really were Oscar out kind of things going on. But overall, I think Orlando City's finally figured out things that work. And one thing that definitely is going to work for them is Luis Muriel playing more of a deeper lying second striker or kind of a 10, which he's been playing, more of a creative midfielder running at the defense. He's so quick. I didn't realize how quick he was. And I thought he had lost some speed due to his age, but man, does he fly down a pitch and he creates a lot of problems. And that's what, you know, Nico Ladero gets into dangerous places. Duncan's going to get into dangerous spots. We didn't talk about it at all. They played in Atlanta and got absolutely smashed in. But I did see things in that too, where Muriel is just starting to take over. And I think that's what you need. You need like a good DP number 10. And that's essentially what he's become. He's kind of that second striker, more of a 10 in behind Duncan. And they can do that because they've got the three strikers. But I am with all the players that they were missing, Jordan, to win, a home game against an Austin team that is struggling, a team that you should beat. I think that's pretty important. So it was a good game after the second half. First half, not so much. Austin's in a lot of trouble. I will say that after watching teams play, I don't know if I've ever seen a team as bad in person as Austin FC is currently.
Yeah, Austin is they're a team. I mean, it is.
Field them. They field 11 guys. That's all.
It's rough, man. 3 points after five games.
There's nothing exciting about them.
No.
At all.
No. This will look, you know who will be very happy by the end of the season? I think the Wolf Out fans.
Yes.
They'll be very happy because I don't think he'll be able to keep his job if they play like this the whole season.
They might be happy in a couple weeks. That's how bad it's gotten.
Well, there is no more teams with 0 points. There's a team with 1 point. That's New England, who just has a new manager as well. So that's not going super well for them right now. But yeah, there's a lot of teams that had 0 points for a bit. We're now at every team has at least one. Let's talk about Red Bull Miami. This was... Of course, Messi was missing due to a hamstring injury. I think we can stop the conspiracies with that because he also missed the Argentina games. I feel like there's people thinking he's just not playing for certain games or whatever, but he is injured. He missed the Argentina games. He's missed this game. Lewis Morgan, though, former Inter Miami player, takes over with Forsberg out on international duty, and Lewis Morgan has a hat trick and an assist in that game. That is enough to get him player of the week. I voted for him. You voted for him, right?
Yeah, he and Van Zier.
I voted him and Bowanga. But yeah, Lewis Morgan, who, you know, missed a good chunk of the season last year due to a hip injury, is now back. He had a great year in 2022 with the Red Bull. Here he is now, back playing well. Great. That's awesome for Lewis Morgan. Scored in a 3rd minute, 51st minute, and then 70th minute. Oh, no, I was wrong, though. Van Zier assisted on all four. I thought for some reason Lewis Morgan had a goal, had a assist, but he didn't. Hat trick. Any thoughts on Red Bull, who I feel like have been a surprise this year? They're 1 point off of Cincinnati at top of the East, and that'd be top of Supporter Shield as well. Cincinnati's back into leading that already. But they've lost one game. They drew one, and they've won three. They've only given up 5 goals. They've scored 8. Because didn't they get blown out the other week, Red Bulls? Am I blanking on that?
That almost seems right, because I think they had a high-scoring game where they...
They lost to Columbus, 3-0.
Yes. That's right. Because it kind of skews really, that.
That's really it, though. The rest of the games, they've been looking good.
They've been, they've been dominant, and last year they had one of the best defense. They've had probably arguably the best defense in MLS when they get it going. So you throw in an attacking front that you've got Lewis Morgan, that Van Zier's played well now, that you've got Forsberg. I mean, this team, Frankie Amaya's played pretty well. Like, you've got guys now that really do give you an opportunity to win each match. And if Van Zier is at least just going to set up Lewis Morgan, then that money you're paying him for that DP spot as a number 9 is going to work out well. Like, it's like having a Lewis Muriel who's creating chances. It was that same kind of idea. Forsberg looks like one of the best players in this league. It just so happens that now they've got some off-field issues that Forsberg's now going to have to deal with a, I think a partner came out and said that he's not been around, the family left, and they're, I think it was a wife that he's getting divorced, and she's leaving, the kids, and they're leaving, and he went to New York, and there's this huge story on Twitter, and
don't want to speculate on too much, because I also saw people say, like, 2 posts before that, she was talking about how excited she is to be moving to New York. So it's like, it looked like she was gonna live there, and now they're I don't know. Who knows what's going on with that.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, it's the Twitter bot. It could be wrong. It could be somebody crafted up a fancy little design there and has us all fooled. But that's the reporting that's coming out. I think it was initially tweeted by a Swedish account. I don't know if it's actually still up on the person's Instagram, but it was supposedly that was the story. Even if it's not, you know, off-field stuff can really get distracting for a player. We've seen that constantly. So I'm hoping it's not true, but, you know, things happen in this league that, you know, this league just can't go a day without being a nuance to different things. So rooting for normality in this one, but I don't know if we'll get it. It does seem very likely that a Red Bull player would do this. It seems very Red Bull. But yeah, no, they played really well, Jordan. I've been really impressed with them. If they continue to play like this and they continue to keep that off-field stuff off-field, then they're starting to look like they might be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. You flip it over to the Miami side, I think there's some major concern with Messi, and any muscle injury is always a concern because that just flares up whenever it wants to. And especially with the match congestion, with the idea of him playing Copa, being away from the team, and all those guys being away from the team for Copa, they're going to be depleted when Copa comes around because I think all their players will leave. It seems like it's not great times. Like they started out on a real high, but man, the more games he starts to miss, the more you're really going to start to see, I think, maybe some of the attacking depth issues as far as goal scoring is concerned, if they're not careful.
Yeah. Good news for Miami. They're still second place in the East. That's the two losses though, but look, they're in a much better position than they were last year at this time. We'll see how they handle it, right? How long Messi's going to be out for, how they're going to handle their changes. It would have been nice if they had Lewis Morgan, right? So Red Bulls are playing so well. They're going to be the team that I continue to see how they do as we look forward to them continuing their playoff streak. LA Galaxy, what a comeback by LA Galaxy. Sporting Kansas City 2, LA Galaxy 3. This was at Children's Mercy Park, so they're in Sporting. They come from 2-0 down to 3-2 winners. Their first win there in 5 years. They have not lost to start the season here. And they trailed 2-0 in the 72nd minute. Then you have Zavaleta in the 72nd, Jovalic in the 75th, and Delgado in the 80th. And also, this is Jovalic's like fifth game with a goal this season.
Yeah, he scored every goal this year.
Every game this year, not every goal.
Yes.
This year. That's a lot.
Sorry, every goal. Yeah, he scored every goal this year in all of MLS. That's.
I just imagine like somebody being like, just mark that down as Jovalic.
Yeah, that was yeah. Right. Don't get the binoculars out. It's fine.
So that's a big F you to you, Logan. You were very hesitant,
yes. Right?
On this team, but also just on Jovalic and how he's going to score. But it seems like now without Chicharito here, he's able to kind of take that more center striker role to score goals. A lot of times with Chicharito, they'd like stuff him on the wing to try to get him on the field with Chicharito. If Chicharito wasn't playing, then he'd play more centrally or whatever. But I guess your thoughts on Jovalic and LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy are probably the team that I'm looking at, Jordan, as being that team that I want to follow all year just because of how exciting they've been so far. Ricky Pooge is playing like a Ricky Pooge should. He's been phenomenal this season and just a lot of fun to watch. Joseph Paintsill, Jordan, this might be the first episode we haven't talked about Joseph because it seems like he's the one that creates everything. But in this match, they've really gotten it from everybody. Zavaleta scoring, Jovalic finally just scoring every goal. You know, that's what is amazing. He's scoring for all the team, but no. And then Mark Delgado, a consummate pro. He's followed Vanny everywhere he's been, which is exciting. Jordan, I think I saw somewhere where, yeah, it's Greg's Vanny. This is wild to me. This is Greg Vanny's first ever win against Peter Vermees. So to do it in this fashion and with how long they've both been around, it's kind of shocking to me. I, like when I read that, I was like, That's weird. Because, but then I think about them, like, they've been in the East, so it's a little bit harder because they don't cross as much.
Now
they do. But yeah, Jordan, this game, I just felt like the Galaxy, it was a span of 8 minutes that they scored three goals. And a team that can do that, that's like Manchester City level. That's a scary rate in which they can do things. And I'm hoping, Jordan, that they continue to want to put talent on this roster because their neighbors that aren't too so far away. That was really awful wording how I said that. that are right down the road. They're putting together quite something that we'll talk about next. But again, if they can put maybe another player or two on this team, I think they got a real shot to be title contenders. They're already contenders in the West. I wouldn't say title contenders really out of the West yet because there's a lot of shakiness in the West. Whereas I think the Eastern Conference, once again, dominate with how good their teams are. But right now, Jordan, LA Galaxy, one of those teams that you're going to have to watch in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they're probably giving up too many goals right now.
Yeah, then they'll do that. They leak
giving up 9. They scored 12. So if you're LA, you definitely want to pull back a bit on giving up the goals and keep doing what you're doing with scoring goals. I know that sounds very basic, but like that's my worry for them going forward. They do sit comfortably in second spot, 9 points. They haven't lost yet. The only other teams to have not lost in the West are St. Louis and Minnesota. In the rest of the league, that would be Philly and Cincinnati as well, have not lost at this point in the season. But good to show that on the road, come down from 2-0 behind to 3-2 victory. Huge, huge thing for Greg Vanney. It really felt like he was kind of on the hot seat this season, in my opinion anyway. And, you know, they're going out there, they're producing. Got to make the playoffs. Cannot have any sort of fall at this point. So that's why you have to sort out that defense. LAFC, they're neighbors that are not too far from what or whatever.
Not too far away.
LAFC, they beat Nashville 5-0. This is the one I was listening to as I was driving. Denny Bawanga finally get some goals this season. He's got 2 in this match. But yeah, they beat Nashville 5-0. Let's pivot from LAFC right now and talk Nashville, and then we can kind of go back to LAFC. But I'm really worried about Nashville. Hani Mukhtar hasn't been, they need more than Hani Mukhtar on this team. And really, right now, they don't have it. Sam Surridge sometimes looks really, really great, right? He'll score a goal. But, they had 54% possession against LAFC. But they only had 9 shots to LAFC's 26, with 5 of those on goal to 16 for LAFC. And they were just getting absolutely smashed. They had a red card, of course. Willis gets red carded in the 62nd minute. So that kind of puts them down a man when it explodes from 3-0 to 5-0. But I'm worried about Nashville, Logan.
Yeah, you don't have any goals from Hani Mukhtar this season. And like people will point to them playing in CONCACAF Champions Cup. That surely wasn't it. They bowed out of that one pretty quickly. So it was, I don't think that this team really has anything else. And we talked about this at length. And this one, I'll throw you under the bus. You were very good and very high on the fact that Nashville will continue to be that 4-5, 6 spot in the Eastern Conference.
Season's not over.
Right. I was like, there's no way, not in this Eastern Conference. If I actually think they've regressed every single year. We've talked about their points per game. I think they were just hovering above 1 point last year, like in the away matches that they're playing, and just barely keeping their head afloat at home. Once they start losing games at home, and once they start to not get any contribution for Hani Mukhtar, one step backwards for Hani Mukhtar, Jordan, could spell the you know, competing for the bottom of the Eastern Conference for this team. Like, that's how bad it's been. And now they're shipping goals left and right. Like, that was their strong point. Besides Hani Mukhtar really just being the best player in the league, they at least had their defense one of the best in the league. Now you've got Walker Zimmerman, who's been dinged up a couple times. You know, he's got leg issues where I think he's going to, you know, it's going to be hard for him to play all season. It is. I think this team's really going to struggle, and they're starting to really show the signs of not having that star player besides Hani Mukhtar. And like you said, Serge is good in moments, but often moments he is not that great. So he's just not impressive to me, and they don't have anything else, and they don't seem willing to go out and get anything else. This Nashville team, I'd put them at like an 8 or 9 as far as they're concerned.
One thing they've got going for them is that they have one loss on the season. This is actually their first loss. So not terrible. They have 3 draws, 1 win. They're only 4 points off of that 4th and 5th spot. Like, they can definitely turn this around, but they need to get some more players on this squad. And I just don't know how likely that is. But Nashville fans were not pleased on Saturday night when I was scrolling through Twitter in the middle of North Carolina at my hotel. They were not pleased. I didn't expect them to lose that much. I was like, oh, when I turned it on the radio, it was already 1-0 and became 2-0, like right when I turned it on the radio. And I was like, wow, I thought this was going to be a good matchup here. I guess so did SiriusXM, because they put it on, instead of Philly, Portland. And it was just brutal, brutal game. LAFC, though, how important is it that Denny Bawanga finally got that monkey off his back? He scores 2 goals.
Yeah, it's massive, especially because they hadn't scored in a couple of matches. I think it was 3 straight they had not scored in. So to get 5 and then get Denny Bawanga off the snide, I think that's massive.
Do you know how many goals they've scored this year?
6-7 Oh, dang.
7
Really? That's not good.
I think it was 2 when they played Seattle.
I think you're right.
Week 1.
Yeah, that's natural. Yeah, because they went 3 scoreless. Yeah. So, yes, duh. Yeah. Of course we knew that. So, yes, 7 goals. That's not good. I will say that, again, we talked about this. They've got a lot of moving pieces. They've got players in and out. They've got younger players now that are the next coming of LAFC. We didn't know how quickly they could get there. But if this is a sign to them being like, okay, now we're ready, then this could spell trouble for the Western Conference. I think that's the other benefit they have, Jordan. They're playing in a weaker Western Conference. Yeah. So I think they'll benefit from that tremendously, and they don't really have to run up against the Eastern Conference as much. So it does. It really helps LAFC to be at least a little bit worse than they were last year, obviously, but I don't think they're much worse. So I think they'll kind of hover around that 2-3 spot for a while, and then
they rebound it. Was it last week we asked who we should be more worried about, LAFC or Seattle? I said LAFC. And I was wrong. I mean, they're only 3 points off Minnesota at this point. And that 5-goal performance was enough to put them back in the positive goal differential. So it's looking pretty good for them to kind of figure this thing out, get it going. We were raving about how Portland and Vancouver looked earlier this season, and now they're on the same amount of points as LAFC.
Yeah, and it could get a lot better. So there's been a lot of reports coming out of where is he now? Is he in Italy?
Yeah, he's at AC Milan.
Okay. Olivier Giroud, Jordan, one of your favorites, is getting a lot of conversation back and forth between he and LAFC. They've actually gotten into like contract talk, what that would look like. He's got a lot of teams that are kind of vying for his services. I'm assuming there's Saudi clubs involved as well, because they like to also do the whole thing where they throw a bunch of money at players that are towards the end of their career to try to entice them to come over. But it sounds like Olivier has had discussions with fellow countryman Hugo Lloris, and has had interest and was swayed into thinking LAFC might be the spot for him. And honestly, if I'm looking at it, I think it's probably, if I had to guess, like a 75-80% chance he ends up with LAFC at this point, just because I think it's enticing to come to LA. You're in the spotlight. You get some brand deals. He's already rich enough. You know, some of these players
are right. They're both French.
Yes. Yeah. They're both French. Yeah. They're countrymen. So,
but actually, the French don't get along a lot. We saw that in 2010.
Oh, that's true. They do have some. Yeah, that's true. Changes.
But
he doesn't seem like somebody that'd be hard to get along with.
No. I'm sure they've.
Olivier seems like he's loved everywhere he's been. He's got 12 goals and 8 assists this season. Jordan, he's got like over 280 goals total in all of his competitions, which is crazy to think that here we go once again, LAFC. And I'm thinking he's one of those players, Jordan, that like he could bag 20 in this league. Like that's how good Olivier Giroud has been. And I know you've really liked watching him play over the last couple of years, but he's so much fun.
Like, I was a fan. He was at Arsenal, actually.
Yeah.
My dad is an Arsenal fan, and we would watch Arsenal matches. I was a Chelsea fan. And I felt like so many people just crapped on Giroud so much. Arsenal fans, just normal people. And I was like, I would take him at Chelsea. Then guess what? He goes to Chelsea, and he has a great career at Chelsea.
He goes
from there to AC Milan, where he's playing well with a lot of former Chelsea players like Christian Pulisic. I would love to have him in MLS. That would be a dream come true. It'd be a dream come true if it was at Subaru Park and he was for playing the Union. Like
rainy nights in Chester, baby.
Yeah. He's like, what the hell is this field? I can't even play on it.
I could swim. But the Olympics were over here, not there.
Yeah, so that would be great. That'd be great getting him over here. Of course, that's probably a team that he would go to, LAFC. It'd be nice to have somebody go to a team that's not Miami again. So that'd be great.
Just shock the world. Like, I was so ready for Ronaldo to pull up to Sporting Kansas
City. Oh, my
God,
that rumor is wild. I don't know how true that was, but apparently he was going to Sporting Kansas City. Going to be in the middle of Kansas and Missouri. Just like, yeah, this is the life. Imagine is like, you know, he gets all those Instagram photos of him by the pool, and I just picture him like in a cornfield.
Pool. Or something. A pool, like backed up to a cornfield with snow on it. Like, sorry, Kansas.
He's like, is this heaven? And they're like, no, this is Kansas.
Hey, that's where Ted Lasso's from, though. To hell with that, buddy. So
he thought he was gonna play for him.
Oh, I love that, though. I love that, like, I wish that would happen, though. I wish that, like, Minnesota United, they got Pookie, but, like, somebody like that, you know, that'd be a lot of fun. One of these random teams that just snagged him up. Like,
Jack is a big Giroud fan as well, so that would be funny if he went to Minnesota.
Could you imagine him and Pookie together? That'd be nuts. They wouldn't.
And
then
you still bring in Halongwe off the bench? Oh, my God.
Oh, I love Olivier. I'm hoping it happens. I really am. Kind of sucks it's LAFC, but it has to be them, right?
Yeah, they need goals, right? Like that would be.
Oh yeah,
that'd be great.
Him and Bawanga's gonna leave, so yeah.
Yeah, Bawanga probably gonna leave. If they can hold on to him for the rest of the year, that'd be great. But it's probably gonna be more like a summer thing, and that's probably when they'd be able to bring in Giroud, so be a replacement there. I'm not sure if he's an upgrade over Bawanga though, so that'd be tough.
Yeah, that's Bawanga's still young. Like Olivier's a little bit on the older side, so
looks great though. Okay, Charlotte. Walk me through this one, Logan, because this is the one I heard most about, and I feel like you can't find great highlights of it because the league doesn't want people to see this stuff.
Yes.
Walk me through this match against the Crew.
It's a good way to kind of lead into some referee talk, Jordan. We've got a referee deal in place. They were meeting today to vote. I didn't see how that shook out, so maybe you want to check Twitter as I'm kind of running through this if anything's broke since we I think they said within the next couple of hours that we'd probably have some news on the refs, but it sounds like next week it might be a possibility, thank goodness, because this one, Jordan, was wild. The start of the match, they had two false starts, so you couldn't, two separate times where the ball had to go back to the center of the pitch to be kicked off again because the refs weren't happy and they had to retake it twice, so that was a blast and a half. There was an offside call that a lot of people were like, is this the only angle they have in the whole stadium that we're getting this offside call on? And sure enough, the ref is able to deem the Crew were offside from it. And it wasn't a great angle.
By the way.
Yeah.
He was on. I don't have the picture in front of me, but if you look at just the field lines, like the lines behind me on my picture.
That's true, yeah.
A defender was on the line, the grass line, the darker grass line, while Chucho was not. Chucho was behind it. I don't know what they saw.
Did you freeze? Oh, you're on mute. I was like, that happened? Because you cut out. But yeah, so there were a lot of yellow cards. There was a handball that was called and missed. It was an obvious handball. It was missed. Ashley Westwood gets a dissent yellow card. It was about as crazy as possible. There was a lot of video review. The goal, Ajiamong poked it in. Deani, who passed the ball into the corner of the net. However, Ajiamong was judged to be or to have fouled Darlington Nagbe, which was held up under review. So that was waived. It was insane. Like, it was like every goal that was scored within like the first 45 minutes or something crazy. It seemed like it was pulled back. There was a red card from Derek Jones gets a red card, and it was, I don't know, it was very questionable. It was like, I don't know. Like, some people were like, it was questionable. Some people were like, well, no, he stepped over the ball. I'm like, I don't think it was a red card. Like, I think he just whiffed on the ball and somehow caught leg. Like, it didn't seem like it was dangerous. It didn't seem to be on per, like, I don't know. People were arguing all over this game, this match. But finally, Jordan Ajiamong got a goal to seal the win. Ashley Westwood also with a volley. Ashley Westwood, I think, won goal of the week too with that volley. It was like off his chest into a volley. It was pretty top class. And then Ajiamong gets it to seal it off. But yeah, Jordan, it was just like I'm trying to think of all of them because there were so many. I think I got all of them, but there were so many of them called off and VAR checks and was he on, was he off? Like, there was so much debate back and forth, and this just was compiled into a list, and somebody had a list. I forgot. I need to do. I couldn't find it, but I need to find it. But it had, like, everything that the refs had missed this weekend, and it was a ton. Like, it was a lot. I think the Colorado one was probably one of the more blatant ones where he absolutely gets drilled in the head, and it's one of those clear and obvious where it's like, I got to stop the play because somebody just took an elbow to the face and went completely down and out, and nothing was called, and Houston ends up scoring on the counter. So this weekend really, I think, pushed MLS probably to go, yeah, maybe we try to get this deal done. I don't think it has. I haven't seen anything, but.
No, I was just looking. I can't find any update as it stands right now.
Yeah. So I don't know. It sounds like it's going to happen before the weekend. I'm hoping it does because this was a disaster. Like this week was a joke of how bad the replacement referees are. Like it's just, it's not, and people are going to get hurt. People are going to get, you know, fined. People are going to get suspended for no reason. Like it's just starting to get to a point where it's just enough's enough. They need to settle with the union. Pay your refs more. They deserve more.
Talk about settling with the union. Portland was not able to as Philly beat them 3-1. Jonathan Rodriguez debut goal. Missing six starters. I did not expect this game to go as well as it did for Philly. It seems like they never do well in Portland a lot of the times. So to be able to get the win was a pleasant surprise for me as a Philadelphia Union fan. As they get 3 points that they really needed to get up to ninth place in the table and kind of start working their way back up now that they are out of the CCC. First win of the season. That was all big things that needed to happen for Philly. So absolute pleasant surprise. Portland. I feel like they're fading. I feel like they're fading pretty fast here. I feel like that game against Colorado was a fluke to start the season. And since then, they've had only, 4 points since that first week? 2 losses, 1 draw, and 1 win since that opening win that they won, 4-0, 4-1, whatever that game was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they were like the hot team the first 2 weeks, and since then it's kind of been a little bit of a slide for Portland. Starting to worry about, not worry about them, I guess, but I don't know. They've given up 8 goals and they've only scored 9. 4 of those, of course, coming in week 1 that they scored, and 3 of them they just gave up this week. So, I don't know. Are you worried about Portland and Phil Neville here?
Always. This is one of those teams, Jordan, that I highlighted at the beginning of the year, and I'm often wrong about things, but I would say that this team, like, legitimately, and people have the same concerns. Phil Neville has yet to prove that he can win in this league and stay consistent. We'll see what happens, but this isn't, I don't think, the roster that you stay that consistent with. They're gonna be beneficiaries of the fact that, once again, they're in the Western Conference, and it is a weaker conference. They're going to be able to beat up teams like Colorado. So, again, I don't put too much stock in the fact that they came out of gates hot, because it takes one game to really skew the goal differentials and the goals you've scored. It takes one game, even defensively. Like, if there's a game that you've actually crapped the bed and you've given up 5 or 6 goals, like, that's going to hurt. But you can eliminate some of that and go, okay, well, we've been better because of that. But Portland, I just feel like they're gonna ship goals. They're not gonna score as many. I don't know if Jonathan Rodriguez is a good signing, but it takes guys a long time to learn, especially strikers in this league, and to really get going. It is wild to me, Jordan. I didn't know this. This stat was fascinating on the Philly side. Julian Carranza has already tied Daniel Gazdag and Sebastian Letou for most multi-goal games in history, club history. That's crazy. That's 6 multi-game goals, and he's only been there for 2 years, like a year and some change. Like,
to be fair, he scores in a lot of games multiple goals. So yeah, I mean, it does seem like whenever Carranza's name's on a score sheet, it's on there twice.
Yeah. So again, maybe there's some concern with you as far as Julian Carranza leaving in the summer. I know that he was a hot commodity, it seemed, in the transfer market. Just didn't ever get a deal done. I can't imagine he makes it all season. He's kind of like a Denny Bouanga, where I think European clubs will look over here and go, he'd be a real nice summer signing. But again, I don't know how Philly has tended to operate, because they don't really...
I think he'll stay this year.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean,
I hope so. Because I don't know what Philly does outside of that.
Find another striker.
That's true. I did see they were linked to other people in Cincinnati too, center forwards. So I don't know, but great win, man. Like, I was as stunned as you were. Like, it is impossible to go to Providence.
Yeah, it was good. I feel like we draw there a lot or lose. So I don't know the last time we won there, but it feels like a while ago. I could be wrong though, but yeah. So no, I'm very excited to hopefully try to get up there this weekend for the next game, and hopefully it's not rained out. okay. Next game, Seattle lose to San Jose. San Jose win 3-2. At one point, it was 2-2. And was it the 82nd minute or so? 82nd, 83rd minute that Obosi scored?
Equalizes, yeah. Or
took the lead. Sounders equalized in the 81st. So it said a minute later.
Yeah, 82nd. So. Yeah, he's registered 82nd minute.
That's crazy. Yeah, Cody Baker whipped in a ball to Muzowski, who scored. And then it was short-lived here as Obosi equalized. It took the lead late in the game. Seattle dropping points. They sit with 2 points in the West. They're bottom of the West. It's a little nerve-wracking. I don't think we have to go too deep into that because we talked about it last week. Of course, they lost their new man, De La Vega, for 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll see how that continues to progress. But yeah, it's scary for Seattle, I think, at this point. I'm sure there's lots of people that are sleepless in Seattle over this result.
I just wonder when do you take the, what is it, take the horse out behind the shed? And because this, I like, they were really good last year, but there's going to become a time when, and people have talked about this, the pundits have talked about, there's going to be a time when Seattle is going to take that big drop, that drastic drop, because of the aging talent on their roster. It's hard to stay healthy. It's hard to stay consistent as you get older. And it's been proven that, you know, age always wins. It always comes to get you. Retirement comes calling, and it doesn't stop for anybody. So you do wonder, right? They still got really good talented players in this team. I still say they probably make the playoffs. I'm not that concerned yet, but having their star DP be out for 4 to 6 weeks and not get a feel for the league, and then take 4 to 6 weeks to get used to the league again because he starts playing, like, that's already half the season, and you're kind of scrambling at that point. You do wonder, like, Jordan Morris isn't that MVP caliber player he once was. Rui Diaz doesn't play as much as he once was. The Roldans are going to kind of regress, right? You've got Rusnak, who, you know, it's iffy if he plays every single match. It becomes a long laundry list of ifs, like if they stay healthy, if they don't regress, if, you know, they stay on the field. Like, there's a whole lot of those ifs. I saw people calling for Brian Schmetzer's job. Jordan, that's the first time I think I've ever seen that on Twitter. I'm like, are you stupid? Sorry, that's so harsh. But, like, he's arguably, if I had to pick anybody in MLS to come coach my team, between him and maybe, like, Wilfred Nance, like, right now, who would I pick? I mean, he's done a lot with this roster. I'm not sure that any other coaches with this team would be doing as well as Brian has.
Yeah, no, that's not something that's going to happen. I don't think he gets fired this year. I mean, he's what, 2 years removed from winning the CCC,
right?
Like, that'd be crazy. But no, I think pressure will definitely pile on them. This might have been a moment where Garth Lagerwey moved on at the right exact time, right?
Yeah,
it's probably looking like a really good move at this point with the way Seattle is maybe falling a bit, but. I think they'll be okay. I still think they'll be okay overall, but it is a little worrying. But we'll see how that goes. All right, Golden Boot right now is between Lewis Morgan with 5 goals and Jovalich with 5 goals. Benteke has 4, Giakoumakis has 4, and Luis Suarez has 4. I'll ask this. Is the winner of the Golden Boot one of those 5 names?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to go with definitely. And I'm going to go with the guy I think I picked for Golden Boot. I can't remember if it was him or Cucho. I don't know. I have to pull it up. I forget who exactly. But I believe Giakoumakis ends up being the Golden Boot winner. But. Crazier things.
Yeah, that's who you had.
Okay, good. Then I made a right choice. But yeah, I think it's Giakoumakis that gets it. I worry Benteke one's not going to be able to stay on the pitch every single time. And with the way DC's kind of played, like, I'm not sure they're going to provide consistent service to him.
Yeah. We'll see how that. That goes, I guess.
Do you think any of them, like, as far as?
No, I do think it's going to be one of those 5. I just don't think I have a answer right now, because I went Chucho, right?
Yeah, which could still happen.
Who is not, like, on the list, but of course that can still happen, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Lewis Morgan will win it. I just think that the most he's won scored, I think, is 14 goals in a season. I don't think that gets it done this year. So if I had to think, it's probably gonna be more of like an actual striker than Lewis Morgan. So you're looking at, cause there's times where he plays in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with probably more like Jovalich with the way that they're playing right now. But that's if LA Galaxy continue playing that way. FC Cincinnati beat NYCFC 1-0. Acosta has become the seventh player in MLS history to register 60 goals and 80 assists all time. It's pretty wild, isn't it?
So good.
Imagine if he didn't leave DC at
No.
Like, he would have scored even more. So
he's insane. He'd be up there on that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, the dude's insane.
We talked to Orlando City, Austin. They won 2-0. Toronto beat Atlanta 2-0. Toronto is playing lights out right now. I mean, they are fifth in the East, 10 points. We got a lot of 10-point teams in MLS right now. We got four in the East, one in the West, and, of course, Cincinnati that has more than 10.
Cena got hurt. He got a hamstring injury.
Yes. Yeah. Good. So we'll see how that does for them. RSL beat Vancouver 2-1. Is Vancouver starting to struggle a little bit now? St. Louis drew with DC 2-2. And Houston beat Colorado 1-0. As Colorado has not been living up to the hype so far. They're 10th in the West. All right, so let's real quick go through this. In the East, first place, 11 points. Cincinnati, Miami in second with 10. New York Red Bull in third with 10. Columbus in fourth with 10. Toronto in fifth with 10. Sixth place, Montreal with 7. Charlotte in seventh with 7. Atlanta in eighth with 6. Philly in ninth with 6. DC in 10th with 6. Nashville in 11th with 6. Chicago in 12th with 5. Orlando in 13th with 4. NYCFC in 14th with 3. They don't have a draw yet. They have 1 win and 4 losses. They could probably use some superstar players. New England in 15th with a 1 point. Over in the West, Minnesota first in the West with 10 points. LA Galaxy in second with 9. Vancouver in third with 7. Portland in fourth with 7. RSL in fifth with 7. LAFC in 6th with 7, Houston in 7th with 7, St. Louis in 8th with 7. That's we talked a few weeks ago about how many teams had 7 points. That number has grown. SKC in 9th with 6, Colorado in 10th with 5, Dallas in 11th with 3, San Jose in 12th with 3, Austin in 13th with 3, and Seattle in 14th with 2 points. And, of course, Lewis Morgan did win player of the match day thanks to us voting for him. All right, anything else before we wrap it up for the week?
No, I don't think so. I was looking at the schedule for this coming week. There's okay matches. I would say that last week had some decent ones, and especially with how wild they ended up being. 100 players out on international duty. Jordan, that'll do a lot of crazy things to MLS. That's the toughest part about not being on the European schedule, is that we play through the international breaks in MLS. So this week we'll get back to a little bit of normalcy as players return from international break, which should be really good for a lot of these teams. Particularly ones that have a deeper roster of players that'll return. So I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how it goes back to normal this coming weekend, in which teams, because right now, I mean, I'd say that a lot of it's pretty off from everybody else's predictions. I feel like there's just not, I don't know if you look at everybody's predictions for the season, there's probably not a lot of people or pundits that have people sitting where they currently are.
Yeah, nobody had Minnesota that high.
No. Miami, people were like, well, you know, they could win Supporters Shield. They might sit fourth or fifth. Like, there was a lot of inconsistency there. I'd say the only team, Jordan, that's not really been much of a shock at all has been Cincinnati.
And Columbus. I feel like Columbus. I feel like Columbus is in a good spot, too. Like, Nazi had to miss that game.
CCC.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine ultimately. But yeah, Cincy is a little shock for me to be leading the Supporter Shield this early again. But we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out from there. Looking forward to it. So yeah, next week we'll be talking about the games that are happening coming up, which are, if I pull up the schedule and if it loads. Okay. 2:00, Philadelphia, Minnesota. at Subaru Park on Saturday. Then you have Colorado LAFC at 4 o'clock. Then you have your 7:30 games. The following are 7:30 games: Charlotte, Cincinnati, DC, Montreal, Miami, NYCFC, Orlando versus the Red Bulls. Good luck. Toronto and SKC. Then at 8:30, we have the following three matches: Austin hosting Dallas, Houston hosting San Jose, Nashville hosting Columbus. We have a 9:30 game, RSL versus St. Louis. Then we have two 10:30s, LA Galaxy versus Seattle. Oh, that's a juicy one. That's an old rivalry match that I'm looking forward to. And Vancouver, Portland at 10:30. Then on Sunday, Easter, open up your eggs because you're getting Atlanta to Chicago. That is free on Apple TV and also on Fox. That's at 3:30, which means it's probably kicking off closer to 4 since it's on Fox. The other free game is DC Montreal on Saturday at 7:30. Logan, I'm going to make my pick here. LA Galaxy Seattle, I think, is a lot of fun. What game are you looking at?
I was going to say Vancouver, Portland, but I just feel like Portland's not trending in the right direction. And I'm going to sound like a homer on this one, but I'm going to go Orlando and Red Bull only because I'm really excited to see what Red Bull do on the road. They're coming to Orlando. Typically has been a tougher place to play. There's that one off year that they were not great at home. But I think it was last year. I think Red Bull coming down to Orlando, this is a real test for Orlando. Orlando's getting all their guys back. This should be one of those games that if you're going to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, you should be able to bounce Red Bull. And if Orlando wins, they're back to those 7 points, which again should put you right back into the playoff mix. And you can kind of forget, I guess, those games that were so rough for us to start the season. I think if you beat a Red Bull team and do it well and play well, then I think it'll start to wake up Orlando City a little bit. And I think the key to that one's going to get Luis Muriel and Duncan McGuire involved as much as possible, and then stopping Lewis Morgan.
I think Philly, Minnesota has a great chance of being something special too with those two teams. So looking forward to that game. Hopefully I'm in attendance. That would be great. And hopefully it doesn't rain out. If you don't understand that joke, it is because I went to a Philadelphia game against Seattle that got rained out. And then I went to, on vacation, an Orioles spring training game that got rained out. And it just seems to be my luck. Those are the only two events I've gone to sporting-wise at the beginning of 2024. And I've still yet to see more than 5 minutes of play. So hopefully everything works out and I get to see this game. Because I don't think I've seen Minnesota in person yet. So that'd be really cool.
They're fun.
I'd have a lot of fun with that. And of course, Philly is special as well. So hopefully I get up there for that. And we still do not know when Seattle Philly is taking place, that makeup game. But whenever we hear that news, we will pass it on as well. Then we have Champions League next Tuesday. Champions Cup, sorry. Columbus Tigres, New England versus America, and Miami versus Monterrey on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. So we'll be back probably recording before then, but just wanted to shout those out in case if anything happens before we record. All right, well, that wraps us up. I hope everyone enjoyed the show today. Have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time. You can like and subscribe to us here on YouTube. I think we passed 150 now. So thank you to all of our subscribers. We appreciate you all very dearly. Over on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review us on the podcast feeds. You can also contact us at Stateside Show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and email statesideshow@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time.